Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen, plus one, My name is Josh Loftus, and I'm here with the captain and the first mate, or has he reached that status yet? Is he cabin boy at this point? He might still be cabin boy.
Yeah, he could be cabin boy, I guess.
Yeah. Theo.
Yeah. Is Josh, you say Josh?
My dude, we're joined by Theophilus, dude. He's already going to raise the intellectual level of this podcast by at least 80%. There we go. Yeah, it's good to see you, dude. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good.
We're just,
it's been a whirlwind day. I just got home from work and literally ran up here and turned the camera on. So I am. Yeah buddy. What's up?
Josh is right there. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Jack, how are you, dude?
Doing good. Doing a lot better from the sickness and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I even told Josh that my beard trimmer kind of came in the clutch.
It looks good.
So I didn't screw that up. So thankful for that.
That's a great gift your wife got you. Your wife knocked it out of the park Christmas wise this year.
Yeah.
She really did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Humidors and beard trimmers, like there's not much more. I don't know how you could encapsulate like us more than that.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so excited for this. Ain't nothing getting done today because Theo's here. It's like Theo's here. We ain't working. We ain't working today. I love it. I love it. Jack, how was your Lord's Day?
It was good.
Good.
We can talk about this a little bit. This will kind of transition maybe into our episode too, but we do a thing called the Gospel Welcome every Sunday. I think I've talked about this before. It's basically it's a primer for us to understand why we're there on Sunday, mm-hmm. on the Lord's Day. And it's primarily to worship God, to worship the triune God, but mm-hmm. not only for that, but to hear the gospel and remind ourselves of the gospel. And really ground ourselves in that. And so that's something that we do. And it's based off of Jesus talking about all who are weary, come to me and I'll give you rest. So we talk about to those who are weary and long for rest, to those who are mourning and long for comfort, to those who sin and need a savior, to those who fail and need strength.
Right.
We talk about how Jesus is... You know, it's a very gospel message in that Jesus is the ally to his enemies. He's the justifier of the inexcusable. He's the friend of sinners. So we try and really anchor kind of the beginning of our service after like a worship song with that. And then we usually stand up, read a portion of scripture or do a call and response. And then we do a couple more worship songs. And then we pause for about 5 minutes and do a time of like fellowship and like saying hello and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
But yeah, we started into a new series. It's more, how can I say this? I don't know. I think everybody has done this before. There's been times where you have, hold on here. I got to get Theo up again.
Yeah, it's happening. While you're doing that, we've also started a new series. I'll let you finish yours, but what is it with, like, I think there's just, I don't know if it's just the way the calendar works, but like, I feel like a new year hits and all the pastors are like, okay, like something new, even if we're in the middle of the series, because we've been in the middle of Hebrews for a while. Mm-hmm. We haven't finished it yet. Like, we did our Advent series and then we're doing a like short series through, what is it, like Romans 12, I think we're going through. I'd have to, that's horrible. I'm one of the pastors and I can't remember what series we're going through, but it's just, there's something about the new year that it's just like, yeah, it's our time to be like jiggy with it, you know?
Yeah. So our series is more, I would say it's rooted in the spiritual disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about becoming the image of Christ in it. So it's becoming the image of Christ.
Yeah.
But it's rooted in, like, we went over like Psalm 1 this last Sunday and talked about like the bigger kind of idea of the series,
right,
for you to be. So it's kind of like topically, but you're still going exegetically.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a a way in which a lot of churches have done that really well.
Yeah.
I feel like it's either people have gone topically all the time or exegetically all the time, and there's no in between a lot. And so I feel like sometimes, you know, when you say topically, we're kind of going topically, but we're still exegetically breaking that down.
I call it topogetical.
That's a good one.
I call it topogetical preaching. And it's very appropriate sometimes. Yeah. I think it's very appropriate because you're right. I think churches can get into a funk where they do only one or the other. Right now, we've talked about exegetical preaching or expositional preaching, right, versus topical preaching before. You can look back in the archives and see those. We definitely favor the expositional style of preaching just because we think it's the style, if you even want to call it that, the method, if you will, of preaching that keeps the most faithful interpretation of what the scriptures say. And I think it's the healthiest way to preach.
Yeah.
However, that doesn't mean that you throw the baby out with the bathwater and you can never do something topical, right?
Yeah.
Because I think, and we've talked about this, I think there are times in the life of a church where the elders look and see, okay, you know, we're dealing with this as a church right now, or we're seeing this pop up in more and more discussions. It'd be really good for us to do a short series on fill in the blank, right?
Yeah.
I think that's actually part of being a faithful leader in keeping the thumb on the pulse of your church and knowing its needs, right? Yeah. And then allowing the Word of God, as the Word of God does, to meet those needs, right? So I think you can throw the baby out with the bathwater at times if you're so rigid in your preaching methodology that you will never ever go outside of, you know, we're going to be in, you know, the Gospel of John until we die, you know, I mean, sure, you can do that, but
yeah,
I think it's I think there's time and place for that kind of topogetical preaching to kind of, you know, come to the forefront a little bit.
And I think this goes into to kind of what we're going to talk about as well. But within that, you can do, this kind of plays into what we're talking about, but you can, as a church, you can structure exegetical preaching around topics, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like we're doing. Yeah. So we can take something like becoming the image of Christ and use a lot of texts and still be faithful to exegetical preaching, but yet look at it through the lens of, okay, we're just going to be preaching on this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think that's the best way to do it.
And then you can also have, like we were thinking about talking about, I'll bring this up, but you can have multiple different preachers preach and get a perspective, and that you're not just having your main preaching and teaching pastor just burn the midnight oil all the time, every time on something.
Right. Yeah, which I think, again, is really a really beneficial thing, because this was actually This was a question that kind of came to my mind from a tweet that Joe Thorne put out. He basically put out there the question, how many times a year do you, you know, have a different pastor preach, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's a great question because, one, it brought to mind something that our church is going to start implementing, mm-hmm. In that we want there to be somewhat of a rotation of preaching, of the elders preaching, right? So whether that be every fourth Sunday or every fifth Sunday or, you know, however that works out, mm-hmm. I think I'm of the opinion that, one, there's nothing wrong with having a main elder that does the majority of the preaching. Nothing wrong with that at all. That's how I think it's has been, and there's nothing wrong with that model, right?
Yeah.
Especially if God has gifted that elder in that particular function, right? That's, mm-hmm. of course, that's what they're going to be doing, right? So, but with that, I do think that you can kind of fall into some bad habits, just like what we were talking about with like exegetical preaching and topical preaching, in that if you have only one guy the entire time, I think that that can actually cause some issues within the local church that I think are easily remedied by having a rotation, right?
Yeah.
One of them being burnout.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
If you got one guy that's doing all the preaching and he's preaching, you know, 52 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
That's going to take a toll. It just does. Not having a Sunday off for that long, I can tell you from experience, it takes a toll.
Yeah. Plus, I think, too, having a rotation actually helps your local church know your pastors better.
Yeah, it does.
Especially if you're in a, we would agree, Josh and I have talked about this, but we would agree that having a pluralistic, what's the word I'm trying to looking for? Plurality of elders.
Plurality of elders, yeah.
And you are pastor led or elder led, not elder ruled.
Right.
Actually helps your congregation hear more from different pastors and not just think that one guy is doing all the work and that's it.
Right.
Usually, I mean, right now we have three pastors at my local church right now, and we have another pastoral candidate, elder candidate on the way as well too, who's been a pastor before, who is not a stranger to that kind of to the ministry. And we have we have tons of people who could probably be pastors in our church right now. I honestly think we could probably have three or four more guys be pastors in our church. It's just a lot of it is the execution of time and maturity.
Sure.
And also making sure that we're following those pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, well.
Right.
And not just throwing guys into the kiln and watch them cook and then we do nothing for them. You know?
Exactly.
It's more like, hey, let's take some time. Let's develop you. Let's make sure you have good roots pastorally.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stuff like that I think that's really important.
Yeah.
For like raising up pastors and especially like in kind of like a pluralistic way in which you have like an elder team.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm a big fan of churches. I think taking advantage of the plurality of elders that they have, because, and honestly, it's for a lot of reasons, but one of the main ones is that it really does fly into the face of that business model of church that you and I rail on all the time, right?
Yeah.
And that you have the main guy, you have the president, the CEO, right? And then basically everything trickles down from that guy, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of churches in America, as we've talked about before, that have adopted that model, right? That kind of shape their leadership structure, shape their vision as a church, right? Shape the kind of the direction that they want to go based off of kind of that business model of church. And the one guy kind of makes a lot of the decisions. The one guy does all the preaching. The one guy does all of the communication. And it's a very popular model, but as you and I have discussed before, it's not a very healthy model.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way the church is supposed to function.
Yeah.
Especially, I would say, when you have multiple elders that could and should be sharing that load, right? Because there are instances, and I've talked to guys that have been in circumstances like this before, where, you know, they are maybe they got hired on and they are the only elder, right? And they are the only pastor, and they are shouldering that load by themselves. And I get it, like that's a real thing, and that's a realistic situation that many guys have come into. And my advice is always the same, like, you know, shoulder it well and find other pastors in your area that can come alongside you while you are building up from preferably within qualified men to fill that role of elder, right? Don't be content or satisfied with staying in that role by yourself. Right. Because that's just a recipe for complete disaster. Right. So when we're talking about this idea of pastors kind of sharing the preaching load, is I think it gives, like you were saying, Jack, it gives a really great picture of what the eldership of the church is supposed to be. And that's a shared load. Right. It's something that we share together. It's something that we come alongside one another. We hold each other up. We support one another. And it doesn't mean that you can't have, you know, one elder who's, you know, more gifted in this than that, and they do more of this or more of that. Like, that's not, it's not saying that the work has to be dispersed evenly, but it does mean that the work should be dispersed.
Yeah.
And that it should be dispersed among the elders according to their gifting and according to their availability, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you have a vocational elder versus bivocational, they're going to naturally have more time and more availability to be able to do stuff. So
yeah,
I really like having the congregation see all of their elders functioning in that role, if possible, right? Now, some elders, they don't have that gift of preaching, right? And that's not something that they're going to be doing as often. And that's fine. And that's fine, right? They fulfill that leadership role in other ways and fulfill that teaching and that exhorting through the word in other ways. I'm not saying every elder needs to be gifted in preaching, but for those that are, I really do like and appreciate seeing the different gifts and the different takes on passages, right? Like, we're going to agree overarchingly on it, but there's going to be different styles, and different styles of preaching are going to connect with different people different ways. And I just think it's a benefit for the congregation to be able to see multiple pastors up there handling the word of God, and then seeing the unity, even in the differences of styles and differences in approach, seeing the unity that comes from that pulpit. I think that's just, I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the beauty in some senses of having a plurality of elders, when all of them get to preach in the pulpit and you get to hear different voices and different ways in which that elder voice is connecting the scripture to what's going. I mean, that can speak to that, right?
Right.
So,
right.
And then also how their brain works in a biblical theology sense, because that's what you want as well, too.
Yeah, for sure.
You want to see how they're working out the text in a biblical theological way. So show me that.
Right.
And a lot of guys do it in a very brilliant way. And a lot of guys do it in a very simplistic way. And then some guys as well, too, do it in a way that combines some systematic theology as well, too. And
sure,
so,
sure.
You really have to go deeper into kind of what that looks like. But I think it's a benefit too, like you said, where you're getting more voices. You're not just having one guy getting burnt out. It's right. A healthy rotation. If we can take Paul's analogy of continuing on like a boxer or an athlete, we can use the analogy of the baseball rotation. And it's good to have pitchers backing you up. You're not pitching 10 innings a game. You're doing it more than that. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. You know, and it's always fun to see those different approaches and those different styles come out. Right. And I know that's how it is at our church, right? Like my preaching style versus the preaching style of,
Hold on, I might get Theo here.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Uh-oh. He's causing trouble.
Yeah. He might go downstairs.
No. Hopefully not head first.
No, he's not. Just trying to look to make sure. Come over here, Theo.
Yeah. Come on over, Theo. Come on. Join the conversation. Share some wisdom.
Yeah.
Share some wisdom. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think it's a good thing. Like even within our church, we have vastly different preaching styles among all of the elders. And I think each one connects with the congregation differently. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I enjoy seeing it. You know, I think most of the pushback that I've seen when I kind of make those types of suggestions are usually from individuals that kind of have bought into the kind of CEO mindset of pastoring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because I think, you know, there are some situations for sure where you have some in leadership, you know, who probably shouldn't be in leadership. Right. And you're dealing with that whole scenario of like, I don't really want them behind the pulpit because I don't even think they should be here. You know, like I've had some really, really crazy conversations with guys who have like come into churches, right. Who've been kind of hired outside and then realized after getting there, like some of these guys should not be here. They should not be in this role. And how do I navigate that now? You know, those are always really interesting conversations when you have the guy sit in front of you like, okay, so here's the thing. I've been a pastor, you know, I came into this church, you know, 6 months ago, and it turns out there's maybe one other guy that's qualified. You're like, okay, all right. So now how do we navigate that effectively as fellow ministers? Because that's a hot topic.
Right? Bro, I remember that time in your life. And I was just like, and I remember the sessions that Josh and I would have too. We were just like,
oh, going back and forth, dude. Just like, yeah, because you can't pull a Driscoll and just fire people, right? Like that's the thing, you know. And look, there's always woulda, shoulda, couldas. There's always hindsight's always 20/20, as they say. There's more questions. Would there have been more questions you could have asked? Yeah, probably. Could there have been things you could have done differently in that process? Yeah, probably. And sometimes you've done all you can and you take the Lord's prompting and it turns out that it's just going to be a lesson from the Lord and you have to walk through it. And it's good to be able to walk through it with other brothers. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, dude, no, like Joe's funny because he will always he'll pop out of the woodwork on Twitter and just say something completely random. Right. And then he'll like hide away again. Like he comes out of his Twitter cave, like he's like a snow badger.
Comes out proverbially stirs the pot of gummy worms.
Yes.
As we talk about here.
Yeah.
And then goes back and then just watches chaos ensue from there on out.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Like the Joker, dude.
Yeah. Like the Joker. Yeah. No, it is pretty funny. It is pretty funny. No, Joe's a good guy. But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. And I enjoy getting to preach more because I think it's something that I enjoy seeing my other elders. I enjoy seeing all of them. I enjoy all of them preaching. It's pretty great.
Your boy might be preaching here this summer.
Are you, dude? Are you getting in the rotation?
Yeah. Okay. Because depending upon, I'm in PLI. So I basically, it's a way in which I get built up as a leader. Mm-hmm. And possibly a deacon or an elder. And so part of it is a preaching curriculum. And so I know each guy in the PLI program will get to preach. One guy has already been an elder before and has preached before in the past. Yeah. So he's done that as well as another guy. There's only two of us that really haven't done consistent preaching a whole lot. So
now is that going to be something that they Will that be a text that they assign you, or do you get to pick?
I think I might be able to pick this one. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Have any preliminary ideas of where you would go if you were gonna let
Luke,
you pick?
Luke chapter 4, okay. When he goes into the synagogue.
Oh.
And he unrolls the scroll and goes into Isaiah. That one for sure.
A lot of meat on that bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know that's kind of where I've been camping out recently.
I like
so,
that.
I like mainly because that was the text I used at my baptism. So
okay.
Anyway,
yeah,
that's where I've been lately.
I hope that happens, dude. I'd really look forward to that. That'd be awesome.
I know it will. It's more along the lines of like this is probably another episode, but it's like, do I want to publish I'm preaching on that Sunday or not?
That's the question. Absolutely. So. Let people tune in. Yeah,
we'll see.
That'd be legit. If I could make it down there, I will, man. I'll come see you preach. That'd be legit. Jack, why don't you give us the cigar of the week and we will get out of here.
I don't know. So I've been debating about this. I think we might change our cigar stuff.
Oh, up, I like it.
I don't have a cigar for January or a brand for January necessarily.
Okay.
So I gotta figure out. Theo, come here. Come here, dude.
This episode has been nuts, dude. This is the Theo ep. Theo ep. Okay. Well, we're gonna look, dude, it's a new year, new us, right? Like we're shaking everything up this year. So what we're gonna end up doing is basically probably changing the scars aren't gonna go away. But we're gonna kind of shift how we do it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about having a podcast is that you can literally do kind of whatever you want on it. And
true,
it makes it. I mean, we've been holding strong for years, so we might shake things up a little bit. So we'll have it figured out by next step. I think we can make that promise to the people for sure. And Jack, my friend, without further ado, unless Theo's about to kill himself.
Yeah, I think he might be.
All right. Well, you know what? We're gonna pull an audible. I'm going to get us out of here. Jack's going to go save his son from possibly falling down the stairs. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what you can do for us. We're on all the socials, okay? Except Facebook, because that whole Facebook getting hacked thing really rustled our jimmies, okay? So, but you can head on over to Instagram and Twitter. We are there, at Reformatory Pod. Give us a follow. Send us your episode requests, all that stuff. And then we're on YouTube. You can head over to YouTube. And it's the same thing, Reformatory Podcast. Give us a like, comment, subscribe. Hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We greatly appreciate that. And you can rate this podcast. And you can like this podcast on Apple and Spotify. And we would ask that you would do both. That'd be fantastic. Give us a little idea of maybe where you first found the podcast, things you appreciate about the podcast. 5 stars for 5 solas. We'd really appreciate it. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. And you can head on over to Patreon. And for $5 a month, only $5, you could have bonus eps. You get episodes like this early. You get first crack at any new merchandise that we put up on the Amazon store. Link in the description of the episode. And it's just a rip-roaring good time, all right? And for $5 a month, a $5 holla, as we say, you too could become a Patreon supporter. And our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
I'm hallowed back, yes. Through the halls of the podcast. Jack is back, and he saved his son from the stairs.
Oh, gosh.
We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory. This has been chaos, dude.